Hi, Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Ashley Flowers.
And I'm Britt.
And thank you so much for being part of our fan club and signing up for this extra content. I have a crazy story for you today of love and money and murder, and it's all quite the family affair. So are you ready, Britt?
Always.
Let's do this. Our story today focuses around a woman named Tracy. She grew up in Washington and came from pretty humble beginnings. Her family never really had any kind of means. She never knew her father. She always grew up envying this family across the town, the McNamaras. They seemed to have everything. The family was very wealthy. They made their fortune off of these beautiful apple orchards. They owned all of this property. And it was Tim, his wife, and their two children, Caleb and Jennifer. They seemed like they were straight out of like a Norman Rockwell painting. Well, when Tracy was 17, she decides that she's sick of Washington, sick of being the girl from the wrong side of town, so she moved away to North Carolina to start her life fresh. She built an entire new life for herself. She got married, she had a kid of her own, and she didn't really think much of the McNamara family after she moved away, but she was reminded of them when one day she got a wedding invitation in the mail. Jennifer McNamara was getting married, and Tracy was invited. Whether she wanted to like take a peek at her old life or she just wanted to prove how far she'd come, Tracy decided to attend the wedding. But something really strange happened at that wedding. Tracy found herself being attracted to someone who wasn't her husband, someone who really wasn't even her age. She was drawn to Jennifer's dad, Tim McNamara. Whatever spark was there for her was mutual because Tim felt it too. He was in the process of getting a divorce, and although Tracy was still married before she went to Washington, her life plans changed by the time she got home. Tim and Tracy had this whirlwind romance, and they were basically having a long-distance affair for some time over text and phone calls and emails, and Tracy eventually decided to leave her husband. And slowly, people started to learn about the affair, and they were outraged, disgusted even, might be a better way to put it.
I mean, I know there's an age difference, but why is this so disgusting?
Well, let me back up a little bit. Tracy was invited to the wedding by Tim McNamara as a gesture because Tracy was actually Tim's brother's illegitimate daughter.
Oh.
Who was never really accepted by the family, and he wanted to like basically extend an olive branch.
So it's technically his niece?
Yeah, I mean, and technically, not technically, I mean, whatever you want to say, it was his niece.
Right, but like, I just want to grasp that that is exactly what's going on. It's his niece.
Tracy was his niece. And this is not like news to Tracy. This isn't news to Tim. So they all grew up in this town together. And because the McNamaras for generations had been this like wealthy, well-to-do family, when Tim's brother had this affair with this other woman, they basically kind of
everyone
like,
knew.
Everyone knew, but they like ostracized that family. And so Tracy and her mother always grew up poor. They basically knew where they came from, but that family wanted nothing to do with them. So that's kind of like where that rift happened. And so they always knew about each other. And this wedding was like a way for them to reconnect. And I don't know whether Tim always had something for her in the back of his mind, and that's part of like what made him invite her, or if he really was inviting her just like sheerly to get her involved with the family. Who knows? But that's how they ended up together.
Okay, I'm disgusted too. Fair enough.
Yeah. So she's at this wedding. She knew her uncle invited her. Then she fell in love with her uncle, who fell in love with his niece. So everyone officially has the heebie-jeebies. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
So after they have this affair and Tracy leaves her husband, she decides to actually make a trip out to Washington to visit him. And she brings her daughter, Kiki, with her. Now, Tracy's mother wasn't happy about this at all. She didn't trust him around young girls. Like, she's totally creeped out that he's dating his niece. She is like, you need to leave Kiki here. I don't like this situation at all. Like, not only do I not trust him, this is incest, and I don't want her around this. So Tracy's mom is warning over and over, let me keep her. I don't want him around her, blah, blah, blah. But Tracy doesn't listen. She takes her daughter with him to visit. They go to Yellowstone together. And after a few weeks of being back in North Carolina, she gets a knock on the door. And it's a police officer who shows up at the house. And he's been sent there by CPS because all of the family had gotten together, and basically Tracy's mom had contacted Kiki's father and told him about this incestuous relationship that was happening, and they filed paperwork to get Kiki removed from the home, and she was taken away almost immediately. And Tracy was basically, after she was taken out of the house, she was given the option, listen, you can have your daughter back and you end this relationship with your uncle, or you can be with your uncle, but your daughter is going to get taken away from you. You're never going to see her again. You want to just guess what she picks?
Oh, God. She stays with her uncle, doesn't she?
Of course. Otherwise, the story would be over. Ugh. She stays with Uncle Tim. Once she lost her daughter, she really felt like she had no reason to stay in North Carolina. So she moved out to Washington to be with her uncle, lover, uncle, whatever. I don't even know what to call him.
Oh, my God.
Within months, Tim has put all of his properties in Tracy's name. He said he did this because he was afraid that his kids were going to sell off all of his land after he died. And maybe that's true, or maybe this is his way of getting back at them for not accepting him or his new girlfriend. Who knows? But they were moving fast once she was out there. As time goes by, they are falling more and more in love, but feeling more and more alone because word is spreading through this tiny town about their romance, and people are basically turning their backs on them, disowning them. No one is accepting of their love, and everyone has turned against them. The couple decides that they don't want to live under this scrutiny anymore. They believe that they deserve to be happy. They deserve to find love. So what they decide to do is move out of the United States. They buy this 50-acre farm in Belize. And of course, it's in Tracy's name. And they move down there with plans to open a bed and breakfast. Well, less than a year after making the move, the couple decides that they should just get married. Like, no one down there knows who they are. Nobody knows that they're uncle and niece. They could finally live the lives that they wanted to without any judgment. And they have their wedding ceremony. And I can't remember where I read this or what documentary I saw it on. But there's this quote from Tracy that like made me gag because she's like, he was my dad, my lover. And like, no, oh! Someone should never use those two things in the same sentence.
No.
Like, that is the definition of daddy issues, right?
I'm so glad I didn't eat before this recording because I just made dinner and I would have thrown it all up right now on air.
I just don't understand. Like, one person should not be those two things to you. Like, your dad and your lover should be very, very,
very separate things.
Yeah, you should not want to think about either of them when you're, like, with the other person. So they get married. The marriage, along with the distance, only made the rift grow deeper between Tim and his family, particularly between Tim and his kids. After the wedding, Tim had wrote a will leaving everything to his wife, Tracy. And here's just like a quick excerpt from the will. When I die, I wish to leave all I own to my partner, Tracy. All my life insurance and personal property and real estate, I leave to her. Now, things seemed to be going great for them. They seemed to be happy, but their fairy tale wouldn't last forever. After about 2 years in Belize, they were broke. They were illegally lodging people, and their B&B ends up getting shut down, and they're basically given a week to either get things in order, or like they're going to be shut down for good and owe a ton of money. And, you know, the thing to do, you know, to get things in order, they have to pay for stuff, but money was really tight. So they couldn't just throw money at the problem to fix it. Now, Tim was technically probably like a millionaire. He had a ton of, you know, assets, but much of his wealth was wrapped up in properties back out in Washington, in that family orchard, in the properties he had around it. So things were getting harder and harder. I think the magic was wearing off and other pressures of life started to set in. But it all came to a crashing halt on Christmas Day. Tracy and Tim had spent the day together. And one night, like in the evening, like they're washing dishes or something, and they hear this like dog barking is what Tracy says, somewhere outside. And remember, they have 50 acres. It's a ton of land. So it's not uncommon for wild animals to get on their property. So what would usually happen is Tim would like grab his rifle, go scare them off. And he does exactly that that night. He goes and he grabs his rifle and goes out onto the porch to scare them off. And that's when she hears it. Tracy hears the pop of a shotgun. And she doesn't even really flinch. It's not abnormal for him to even fire off the gun. But she waits, and after a while, he doesn't come back, which feels strange. So Tracy goes out to the porch, and that's where she finds him. Tim is laying on the porch, shot in the back of the head. And she is screaming, "Somebody, please help me. Mac's been shot." Or she thinks maybe she said Mac shot himself. She can't remember even the first words that came out of her mouth because she was so hysterical. But she didn't call 911. She actually runs into the street and finds someone who calls 911 for her. And she went back into the house, laid with him until the paramedics got there. And they had to actually physically remove her from his body. She was so hysterical and just clinging onto him so tightly. But Tim had died. With a gunshot wound to the back of the head, there was just no saving him. Tracy had to reach out to his family, the family who hates her, to tell them that their dad was dead. And initially, his death is ruled a suicide by investigators. There are suspicions, though, that can't totally be outrun.
It seems weird to be ruled a suicide. I mean, a shotgun or a rifle is a pretty big gun, and back to the back of the head. I guess what investigators' minds pointed them to a suicide?
So first of all, I read in a couple of different places different types of guns. So I said he came out with a shotgun. It could have very well been a handgun. In like recreations I've seen, it's a handgun next to him. So it could have been that. But there's actually other stuff going on in his life that makes things a little bit darker. And I think the reason that they pointed to suicide. When they investigate his death, they find emails that he was sending in the months and weeks before. And some of them were to his granddaughter back in Washington, who was accusing him of molesting her. And in this one email, like this is what he says to her, quote, "I never molested you, never looked at you in a bad way, nor had a sick thought of you or anyone else." And in a reply to that email, his granddaughter says, "You're the adult here, so don't blame anything on me. I've done nothing wrong." So there's this weird thing looming in his family. Again, there's really been no resolution with this. It's all accusations. Nothing's been substantiated. I don't know if this kind of came out of everything, you know, the fact that he married his own niece or if there's some other stuff going on.
Right.
But additionally, around this time in the weeks leading up to his death and even on the day of, he started reaching out to his kids, like trying to make amends. He was sending them old pictures. He was just, you know, trying to kind of open up that line of communication that they didn't have really anymore. And on the day of his death, he actually sent his son, Caleb, an email that said, "I loved being your dad," which feels a lot like, I don't know, it's a little bit ominous, kind of like a goodbye. And so
definitely
all of this like together made investigators feel like he was saying goodbye. There was a lot that made it seem like he was saying goodbye on top of the fact that it appeared like he had less and less to live for as he had more financial problems, was separating more and more from his family. They can just see how maybe it was weighing on him. And it was just moments after he sent that message to Caleb, the one that said, I loved being your dad, that he stepped onto the patio and died. That one wasn't weeks before. That was moments before his death. Shortly after his death is ruled a suicide, Tracy decides to leave Belize and she goes back to Washington. Remember, all of that property is in her name, so she can actually live a pretty decent life. But the other McNamaras, his son Caleb and his daughter Jennifer, are still in that same town and they are furious with her. Not only did they never approve of her, but now they were convinced that she had killed their father. And their suspicions were compounded when they got a report from a forensic examiner in Belize that says, basically, Tracy's blouse that she had been wearing that night had blood patterns that were consistent with like her being behind him when the gun was fired. And the report said that the gun looked like it could have been placed next to Tim rather than actually having like fallen down if he were the one holding it. But in another twist, this same examiner was later convicted of falsifying another forensic report in another case. And when Tracy's lawyer was kind of like picking through his work, he was like, okay, he, in his report, this forensic report everyone's pointing to, he says like the gun's on the left, but really if you look at the pictures, it's on the right. And so really this guy might have made up everything. So maybe the kids don't like her because of this report, but maybe this report isn't real. But on top of all of this, it gets crazier. So
how, Ashley?
I know. When I was researching this story, it felt like a soap opera. So Caleb, Tim's son, hates Tracy even more. I mean, even more than like, we hate that you married our dad. We hate that you're our niece and married our dad. We hate that you took all of our inheritance. We hate that maybe you think you killed him. Because she, in an interview with Crime Watch Daily, told them that right after Tim had died, Caleb had come down to Belize within just a couple of days to like help sort everything out. And that really did happen. But what Tracy says is that while he was there, she claimed that they had sex together in the shower.
What?
Yes. And so, of course, he denies all of these accusations. But Tracy, like, doubles down. She said not only had they slept together, like, in the days after her husband died, but she claimed that the affair had been ongoing for some time. And so, wait, what is that? If it's real, what does that make her to him? So it was Tim's niece. They're cousins?
Yeah, they're cousins.
Okay, so again, he of course denies all of this, and he's outraged that she would make these kind of accusations. But it's at this point, like a he said, she said, like lawyers are involved. He says this very much like he says she's unstable. She killed his father. She's making up all this stuff.
It's just everything, everyone being like slanderous.
Exactly. And like, but you don't know who to believe because it's all so bizarre. Like you want to say this is crazy. This would never happen. But like
it has.
She's already married to their uncle. Right. So Caleb and Jennifer tried taking Tracy to court for wrongful death, saying that basically she had this undue influence over their father and he was this vulnerable adult and that's how she got him to put all the properties in her name and to make her the only person in his will. But in 2017, all of that got thrown out by a judge. He was like, listen, he was totally in his right mind. Like, you guys basically had kind of a feud with your dad. Like, and it's if he wanted to give her everything, he's allowed to. And because he was her wife in Belize, but also like here in America, she's a blood relative that he can leave stuff to, which is just so weird. Like,
oh
I can't
God.
Wrap my
double whammy in some weird, bizarre, terrible way.
I know. I can't wrap my head around it. So last I was able to find, there's really not a lot of conclusion to this. The last thing I found is that Tracy is still living on the McNamara farm and hoping that one day she's going to be able to reconnect with her daughter, Kiki. So for everyone else, people are still split. Some people believe that Tracy was the only one who really loved Tim when all of the other family had turned their back on him. And some believe that Tracy used him and then killed him when she had gotten everything she ever wanted.
Thank you.
Crime Junkie is an Audio Chuck production. So what do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?